I'm a covenant man.
I'm a covenant man.
Living in the riches of my Lord and King, I'm a covenant man.
I'm a covenant man.
Committed to Him in everything, I do believe He'll come again. And I know one thing I'm gonna do till then is learn to live in the blessing of Abraham.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Covenant Living Broadcast. Praise God, I'm so glad to be here with you. I am also so glad to be here with David Wright. Praise God, 40 years in ministry, expertise upon expertise in the area of communication and helping people achieve their goals in life. Launched a wonderful online church, Emerge International, with your beautiful wife, Kanya. So many things that is going on. I'm so thankful and privileged to have you on the broadcast. Nobody's learning as much as I am.
Praise God. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is awesome. I didn't do this last time. I was so excited about the message. But after we have a word of prayer and start getting into things, if you have it on your heart, say a little bit about your background and stuff like that. But right now, hey, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this an opportunity to teach and preach your word, to let the Holy Spirit minister through our minds, through our lips, the oracles and things of God, as the psalmist of old said, make our tongue as a pen of a ready writer, praise God. And Holy Spirit, get to every individual in the sound of our voice exactly what you would have them receive from these messages. I'm asking you, sir, use these words to teach people, to restore families, to restore relationships, to enrichen relationships between husbands and wives and fathers and children and co-workers. And every relationship is based on communication. And we thank you and praise you for teaching us these things. And so we give you the glory for every life changed and impacted in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Thanks for joining us together. Now, look, I know I didn't say this last week, but I say it just about every week, so you ought to know by now. If you don't have that cup of tea or the cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea or whatever you want, just hit pause, go make it, come back, hit play, and pull your chair up to the table over here, because we're just in a group Bible study here, learning the things of God, so just pull your chair up. Now, look. If you're in a car or something, pull the chair up later, okay? Go back and listen to it again. Oh, glory to God. David, man, I can't hardly wait to get into this. Last week was so rich. Why don't you let people know just a little bit, and then we'll read a foundation scripture or two and get into this.
Yeah, so I've always been interested in communication and the way we communicate, different ways we do it. A lot of my background's been in speaking and training and in music.
Yes,
you know.
Published songwriter.
Yeah, published songwriter.
Yeah.
And all those things. And so we use all those things to communicate. And so just a little background. I've been in ministry 40 plus years. I told David it was closer to 50, but I don't want to talk
about
that.
we'll just keep that.
But something came to mind on our last broadcast, and I just want to take a little bit.
Okay.
Moment to share this. This is back in the early 80s. I was on the road working for Brother Copeland on the crusade team. One of my responsibilities, similar to what you've done with him, was I would drive him back and forth from the meeting to the hotel. And so we were in Shreveport, Louisiana, and service had ended. We're walking across the parking lot to get in the car, and he stops me, and he goes, and he starts telling me about my ministry, what God's going to do. And then he said this, and at the time I didn't understand it, but he said, God's going to take you outside these circles and use you in places where people don't hear this message.
Yeah.
And I went, okay. I didn't know what that meant. Well, over a decade ago, Tom Ziegler and I met. Tom's the son of Zig Ziegler, runs the Ziegler Corporation today. And we just really connected. And he came to me and said, we need a coaching program. I know you coach people also. And he said, would you be interested in working with me and taking Dad's content? Now, here's what a lot of people don't know. Mr. Ziegler was a really strong believer.
Yes. Yes, he was.
His Sunday school class was larger than some churches. His Sunday school class alone was 800 people. My wife, when she was just a child then, she likes to say. But,
we're going to leave it that way.
Yes, because we're smart. But she would sneak into the Sunday school class, and she goes, here I am, this young girl with all these business people and all this, but she goes, Zig would be in there teaching the word. And here's what a lot of people don't know. Every principle that Zig taught, he founded first on the Word of God.
Oh,
he wouldn't
God.
Teach it unless he had the understanding of what principle
Foundation.
In Scripture
yeah.
this was founded on.
Praise God.
And so Tom comes to me and goes, can you create coaching programs and train coaches to take this to the world so we can transform lives? And that word from Brother Copeland came back to me in that moment, and God said, I'm doing this now.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people think I'm just out there working in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Now, this marketplace ministry, I get to preach to these guys, and they don't know I'm preaching to them, but that's what's happening. But I'm equipping them to do what we're talking about here, is to take the message and go communicate it to others and draw out that more capable person that lives within each of us.
Now, I don't know if you understand the gravity of what he just said. The Ziegler organization came and tasked him with developing the coaching program to take their message to the world.
Yeah.
And God blessed us by bringing him onto the broadcast to teach us about communication. Do you understand the goodness of God to us? Man, oh man, thank you again for coming on the broadcast.
Again, it's my privilege and my pleasure.
And I've got a real sneaking suspicion here. It won't be the only time we take broadcasts
together.
Come on,
let's do it.
All right, well, let's get into this. I'm going to read a couple foundation scriptures, but I'm also just going to reference. Now, it is imperative, more on this series of broadcasts than perhaps any others. You must get the first one and start. If you don't tune in to like the fifth one, go back, get the first one, and listen, because there's certain foundations laid on each one that build. Okay? And so, for example, we took the time in the first one to read through all these foundation scriptures. We're not going to do that today. We're going to reference some of them and read one that we didn't read last week. So anyway, here we go. Proverbs chapter 15. This is our primary foundation scripture.
Yes.
And this is Proverbs 15, verse 28 in the Amplified Classic Version. The mind, not the spirit, the mind of the uncompromisingly righteous studies how to answer.
Yes.
There's just and I bring this up once again because it's so prevalent. People in the church, in the body of Christ, at least in the circles that I've seen, have this concept that we don't want to mix spiritual things with natural things. And so if we want to deal scripturally and we want to deal godly, well, then we just get all that, we just get all that from a download from the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. The Holy Spirit can speak directly to our hearts, and the leading of the Spirit is how we walk out our daily lives. However, we also apply our minds to study principles.
That's right.
Because you're going to come across somebody that teaches it in a way, communicates it in a way that resonates with you, that you get, that you understand.
Yes.
And in this study process, that's what happens. You'll finally get somebody that says it in a certain way, and you go, oh! And just like that, the Holy Spirit uses that avenue. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm.
So you've, most of you have probably heard the illustration when it comes to believing for financial prosperity. God is the source.
Yes.
There is one source.
One source, that's right.
But there's a lot of channels he can use
exactly.
to get the finances into our hands.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is the source for communication. But there's a lot of teachers and channels and material that he can get it to you
Amen.
Through. But I'd never seen that example before. That's
yeah.
a great illustration.
It is.
Praise God. So we established the fact last week about studying. We're directly told to study how to answer, how to communicate, how to respond. And then we went over and we looked at the foundation, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Then we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, and then we read it in Amplified Classic, and man, oh man, from now on, we'll be learning how to walk in that in fullness. And then I shared with the connection that the Lord showed me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul said, I am all things to all people, and how that communication in Ephesians 4, you need to take that, study, apply the mind, so that you can apply to the hearer that is listening to you at the moment, whether that be your child, your spouse, a cultural group, the younger generation, the older generation, whatever group is listening to you, you need to have the communication skills to thoroughly lay out and clearly lay out what you're trying to communicate.
Exactly.
And so I want to wind up with one last scripture we're going to read in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and again, I'm going to read this in the Amplified Classic version, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is, get wisdom, skillful and godly wisdom. For skillful and godly wisdom is the principal thing. And with all you have gotten, get understanding, discernment,
yes,
comprehension, and interpretation.
Yes.
Get it.
Get it.
Notice he makes a distinction between wisdom and understanding. That goes back to what we read in Proverbs, applying the mind.
Yeah.
Wisdom is knowledge from God. Understanding is how to apply that knowledge from
yes.
God. And so he tells us here, hey, this is the wisest man that has ever lived other than Jesus himself on the planet. Okay? And he's telling you, yes, get wisdom. Spend the time with the Lord. Interact and communicate and fellowship with him. But also, you're righteous. You've been made the righteousness of God. So apply your mind and get understanding.
Yes.
Glory to God. And with that, I'm going to shut up and get out of your way. We talked last night, last week, we introduced, I don't know why I said last night. We weren't even together last night. Last week, we talked about words are containers.
Yeah.
And they can bring or they can create peace or confusion.
Yeah.
Hate or love. That's what all of that Ephesians chapter 4
exactly.
is talking about.
Totally.
Now, they can create those things, but what you want to be is very intentional in what you're doing, what you're communicating, how you're communicating.
Yes.
And how you're not.
Exactly.
And so let's get us into that on the intentional.
Well, you know, David, we started last week in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, talking mm-hmm. about we're created in the image of God and likeness of God.
Yes, sir.
And so that right there, just like our Father God, mm-hmm. our words have power, they have authority, they have influence, they're filled with creative power and potential.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're speaking, whether we realize it or not, that creative flow is there. And when we're intentional in what we say, whether it's, as Paul was saying there in Ephesians, in a negative context or in a positive context, we're
right.
creating.
Right.
We're creating the atmosphere around us. We're creating feelings and things in other people. But we're doing the same thing in our...
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So what we say impacts us just as much as it impacts others. But what I wanted to talk about was God was very intentional. So with, there in Genesis, we see, and God said, and God said, and God said, Genesis 1. And so it comes down to verse 28. So he created, or verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image, in the image and likeness of God. He created him male and female, he created them. Verse 28, and God blessed them and said to them. Now, I want to stop right there. This verse is packed with so much. I could go so many directions here, but I want to focus on this. And God said to them, because we see this throughout Scripture, where God says to someone, he spoke to Noah, he spoke to Abraham, he spoke throughout Scripture, and God said. Well, let me share a little bit with you. That caught my attention a while back.
Okay.
And I started doing, I'm a word nerd, I like to say that. I love to know what the etymology is and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I dove into this, and that word said there in the Hebrew, there are four words that are part of the definition that just the Lord used to talk to me about this. And what it says in God said, and the Hebrew it says, and God called, he challenged, he charged, and he commanded.
You know, you had mentioned to me when we were visiting about these broadcasts, you had mentioned that to me. And so this morning, I actually looked in the New Testament.
Yeah.
The Greek word for say or said is exactly the same thing.
Same thing.
Call, bid, command.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And so in that context, when God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, he wasn't just going, hey, dude, Adam, be fruitful, multiply, dude, and you guys have a good day, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, this was intentional.
Yeah.
He was speaking into them.
He called them
to be fruitful and multiply.
They couldn't be fruitful before that.
No, it was inside of them, and he was calling them to bring it out. But you do it by the word. He called them to be fruitful and multiply. He challenged them to be fruitful. You ever, God ever challenge you?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, ooh. I remember I was studying something, and back during COVID, and all the kids were back home during COVID. So to get some quiet, I went in our bedroom. I told my wife, I told Kanye, I said, I'm going in the closet to pray.
Yeah, literally a prayer closet.
I will never forget this. I stepped in the closet, closed the door and said, thank you, Lord. And I heard this as plain as I'm talking to you right now. God said, I dare you to ask me for something big. And I went, what? He goes, you heard me. I dare you. And so God was being very intentional with me. He was challenging me to go to another level in my faith for what I was believing for at that time. And so he challenges us. But then he not only did that, he charged Adam and Eve.
Yes, yeah.
This is a charge I'm giving you.
Yeah.
Go forth and be fruitful and multiply. And then he came back and said, it's more than that. It's a command.
Yeah.
I command you to go forth. And so whenever we see in Scripture, and God said, this isn't just some casual conversation. He is being very intentional.
You know, Jesus completely understood that,
yes,
that principle and that concept, because there are so many times in Scripture where he said, I say unto you.
Yes.
You know, he could have just said to the little girl whose body was lifeless that he was bringing back to life. He could have just said, daughter, get up. No. He said, daughter, I say unto you, arise. He was using the concept, his knowledge of commanding and calling, and he was being very intentional with it. You know, you can see the intention there from God, because he could have just written the Scripture, and God said, let there be light, let there be, you know, all these things. But no, and God said, and God said, and God said. At the risk of being totally redundant. He was redundant, but that wasn't, the issue was he was being intentional.
Very intentional.
You know, as you know, you were talking about challenging you. You know, as you know, because we're so close, you know some of the things that the Lord has called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the scope and the parameter of our ministry and everything and what he's called us to do, which boggled my human mind for quite some time. And yet he called us and commanded us to that. And I was just, I was struggling. I know you probably never struggled over something, but I'm just being real here with you, okay? I just struggled. How's this going to happen? And I'm trying to press into things, and it's, just progress is being made, but I just know it's not where it's supposed to be. And then just recently in the last couple months, as you know, the Lord's been able to supply the answer on what's going to take us there.
Yeah.
What's going to get us
to
where he's called us to be. And I am so excited. It's all I can do to keep from running around his table right now, because now I can see with the eye of faith more clearly how we're going to do what he's called us to do.
Yep. And we're jumping ahead again.
Yeah, well, you know.
But let me speak to that. So we talk about words are seeds. And so as you have prayed and declared and sought God about that, those seeds, that word that was spoken to you, and you're sitting here going, how's it coming? Is this God? But you're still praying and declaring those, the seeds of those words that we sow are bringing in the harvest now.
Right.
God's given you revelation and insight. Now, but it took some time for that. I've been reading Charles Capp's book again on the power of confession. And Charles talks about in there, every harvest takes a little bit of time
seed
to come sometimes.
Time,
seed, time,
harvest.
And harvest. And so that's what's coming. And
But so, I gotta tell you, I got to be honest with you now. I'm pressing into the scripture that talks about in these last days, the sower and the reaper will be walking side by side.
Side by side.
Hey, time is a man, an earth thing.
Yeah.
So I am pressing into quick.
Well, that's why, you know, Kanye, you've heard her say this, God works at warp speed. We just got to get on board.
Yes, but, right.
But real quick, let me share, go back to the intentional conversation. These four words. The word call means there, and the Hebrew means to call out, to address by name, to invite, to summon, to proclaim, to commission, to appoint, to endow.
Wow.
The word challenge means to demand as a right, to claim, to stand in the place of authority. We could preach on that.
Yeah.
The word charge means to lay on as a duty, to entrust to give or communicate as an earnest request. The person or thing communicated to another's custody or care or management, a trust, and then command, give orders, ordain is a divine act to direct and send, to have or exercise a controlling influence over. He spoke with purpose and intention over all creation, and that includes you and I.
Wow, glory to God. Yeah, now you know why these are recorded, so you can go back and listen to all that again and dissect it and take notes and study and all that kind of stuff. Boy, hey, man, aren't you glad you're here? I know I am, but don't go anywhere because we got to talk to you about something, and then we'll be right back. Hey, Lynn and I would like to extend an opportunity for you today to become a partner with David Weider Ministries. Partnership is just all through the Bible, but I just want to look at a couple scriptures. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul is writing to his partners, and he says, I thank my God, in verse 3 of chapter 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Well, I do the same thing, praise God. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your partnership. That's what that word fellowship literally means, is partnership, in the gospel from the first day unto now. Now, what does partnership in the gospel mean? Well, you can find it in Jesus' ministry in Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. Jesus went into every town and every village, it said, preaching the things of the kingdom of God, preaching the gospel. Well, hey, that's what we do. Sometimes we go to the villages. Sometimes the broadcast goes to the villages. Sometimes we have a meeting and the villages come to us. But we're going to every town and village teaching the gospel. Now, you can see in Luke chapter 8, those women sowed finances into the support of Jesus' ministry and his disciples and everything that it takes to put on the meetings. So that's one part of partnership is financial sowing. Right here in Philippians over there in chapter 1 still, but over in verse 19, Paul says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer." That's the second part that we would ask you to do as you become partners with this ministry is, yeah, supporting it financially, that's wonderful and everything, but oh, hey, I covered your prayers. I need you praying for us. We got a lot to accomplish and a lot to do. And what the Lord has called us to do is to go into all the world and preach the gospel on every available voice that we can. And that's what we're doing. We travel. We do television broadcasts. We do the printed page. We do audio podcasts. Every way that we can get this gospel preached throughout the world is what we do. And that's what we do also is give thanks for you. And I declare and pray and make requests with joy your prosperity. For our God shall meet your needs according to his riches and glory based upon the grace and the anointings that are on our lives as you partner with us. And so I intercede every day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, in between times, for your prosperity, for your family peace, for your abundance in every area of life, for your health, for your protection from sickness, disease, and calamity. Hey, that's how this works. You pray and support us, we pray and support you, and that's how God designed it. Praise God. Thank you so much for becoming our partner today. Hey, I can't tell you enough. Partnership, there's nothing like it.
No.
You know, it's God's system.
Yes.
You know, the Lord showed me here just a few months ago. He took me over there to Luke chapter 5, where he's talking about Peter and Jesus was in the boat. Now, Peter, they had just gotten together. This was like, you know, and Jesus asked him, said, told him, launch out into the deep, let down your net for a catch. And Peter was like, I'm not too sure about this, preacher. I mean, I done this all night. Anyway, the key is, what I wanted you to see is, Peter received the instruction from the Lord.
Yes.
Peter did the work of throwing the net.
Yep.
But when there was more fish than they could handle, his partners came alongside.
Yes.
And they all reaped the benefits of the catch. Hey, I hear from the Lord. We hear from the Lord this week. We preach the word.
Come on.
You reap the benefits. That's how this works. And right now, the Lord has blessed us. We're on shortwave radio throughout North and South Korea, parts of China, Mongolia. Hey, this word is going out through all the world, and you're the reason why. And if you're not partnered with us, I'm asking you, seek the Lord and see if you're supposed to be. Hey, David and I'll be back next week. And until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you, partners and friends, for helping make this broadcast possible. For more information about our ministry, contact us at davidweeder.org or call us at 1-800-988-5380.